Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for this review, Christmas review of 2023. I think it was one of the most exciting years I've seen in my life. One of the most white-pilling moments, a reversal of the oppression against the right. And overall, it was a very good year. There's much to be celebrated. There's lots of narratives that fall, of course. In the last few years, we've had the COVID narrative crumble, the narrative of the COVID authoritarians. But that, then the establishment is taking one loss after the other, and it's going well for the right. It's going well for people who used to be oppressed on social media. We now have free speech on the internet. I didn't expect that reversal to be so swift, so much so that we can enter in 2024, which will be a big year of the memes. 2024 will be, inevitably, it will be the clash of Trump and everyone who hates him. So today we will talk about everything we've seen, and perhaps more close to the 1st of January, I will be doing more a predictive stream about 2024 and what I expect. Merry Christmas to Hal, says Based Saxon. Gray says 2024 should be a crazy one. American elections turn the world upside down. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating because Trump has been disappointing as far as being a president, but one thing he does know how to do is how to run an election, and he seems to be going a relatively low-cost strategy where he will, just his persecution from the legal system of leftists will count a lot in this election, and I think it will be the biggest theme. He ran the 2016 election on victimization by false allegations by women with sexual allegations, the tape release, that kind of stuff. And now it's going to be interesting to see him this time victimized by the whole system, the whole justice system. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, so your Christmas Eve stream with woes will be a white pill. This will contrast with 2021. Ha ha. Yes, I'm going on Millennial Woes tomorrow, so it won't be technically a Christmas Eve stream. I'm going on the 23rd tomorrow, so tomorrow there won't be a regular show. I'll be on the Millennial, and I think I'll review basically the same events that I'm reviewing today, but with the added input from Millennial Woes, and we'll see if we stand equally white-pilled. But you know, last year, Millennial Woes had told me to be more white-pilled because he didn't want to make people depressed like my black-pilled appearance of 2021. But last year, I came in with lots of energy and I made a white-pilling case for 2022, so I'm sure I can do an even better white-pilling case for 2023. Gray says, it is Christmas Eve in Europe for woes past midnight. Okay, it's hard to conceive exactly what is the date there when I'm here, but anyways. Before we get to the year in review, we have a couple of news to pass over. The current narrative in Gen Z land is that if you're an older man, whatever they consider old that day, some days it's over 25, some days it's over 30, you are a predator if you sleep with or engage in a relationship with someone between the ages of 18 and 25. Their suggested reasoning, because they say that the prefrontal cortex hasn't finished developing until age 25, which is contentious at best. Many consider it to be pseudoscience. Yeah, it's complete bullshit, this whole development of the prefrontal cortex idea. There are changes continuously in the brain for all of your life. But there's no reason to conceive of those changes as preparing you for adult life in particular. And the age of consent is something that is illegal. It's a societal decision. It's an arbitrary bar. There's nothing in nature that will tell you, oh yeah, at 25 years old, people are mature enough. Basically, they heard it once and started repeating it without understanding what they were regurgitating. I know, I'm as shocked as you are. The real reason, because that gives them an additional 7 to 8 years of avoiding accountability. The myth of consensual sex. Guys in their 30s dating girls in their who are 21 year old, and you have they've put the 30-year-old woman here as a very old woman. That doesn't look like a 30-year-old woman. That looks more like a 50 or 60-year-old woman. But yeah, so the older woman, of course, I mean, I'm not surprised that this is happening. The older woman, they are getting the grass cut under their feet. Their competition is 21-year-old woman. So I'm not surprised that they come out with their moral objections, but we should just dismiss them. I think this is one of the most important things. If we want to not necessarily win the overall planetary demographic race, because this is a tough goal to meet, but if we want to at least have a shot at surviving as a nucleus of white populations, we need to concentrate on making babies earlier, because I've made the case, it's exponential growth. If your generations are twice shorter than the generation of someone else, like if you reproduce at 16, 17, 18, instead of 34, 35, 36, you are squeezing down the length of your generation by 2x. That is an exponential effect over generations. If you can do this, you're going to end up with much more population. Even if everyone has just 2 or 3 babies, if those 2 or 3 babies, it took you 36 years to make them, or 18 years, that's a big difference. Because the multiplicative effect across generation, the exponential growth of the population, will be amplified by the length, by the shortened duration of your generations. Frog Eyes says, oh, fuck yeah, older broads, super resentful if you're an older guy with a fit young thing on your arm. Yeah, and that is just how it works. That is how nature works. We should not fall for the social pressures against it, because that's the reality. We see it in the genes. Basically, women have been fucking older men forever. So that's the situation. Chuck Garrity says, it would be for the best for all of humanity if we did. Absolutely. There are people who are enraged at the Milei actions as he takes power in Argentina. Javier Milei continues his fascist rampage in Argentina. He has authorized the privatizing of all remaining state-owned industries. That's his donors cashing in. He has also authorized the sale of all social housing and removed all rent controls. It is going exactly as expected. I read this and I thought, wow, that's cool. I thought this was a praise of Javier Milei. But this guy says, no, that's a socialist. He's enraged. He's complaining about these things. I was sure that he was celebrating these things. Paul B says, but I was told if your girlfriend is more than 2 years younger than you, you are grooming her. Oh, yeah, that's horrible when they develop these concepts of asymmetric power, you know, they develop this concept that, oh, well, maybe not all old men who are with young females are abusive, but there are lots of circumstances that can lead to asymmetric power. That is absolutely ridiculous. We need to completely eliminate this social guilting. We have etiquette in Japan. Apparently in Japan, you cannot go to the gym and wear these sexy things that that these TikTok women are wearing when they film themselves doing workouts. Apparently in Japan, it doesn't pass at all.
If you are coming to Japan and planning on going to the gym, let me just warn you, do not wear a matching set. Do not wear a cute little outfit like this. I know that we all love them. I feel so super cute right now. But if I wear something like this to the gym, Japanese people literally treat me like I have whore written on my forehead. Like they stop and they look at me and they're like...
treat her like she has whore written on her forehead. Maybe that's the solution.
What the fuck? Like, I've forgotten to get dressed. This is how I dress now. Now that I've been living here for a year, when I go to the gym, this is how I dress, like all the other Japanese people. I'm not fucking kidding you. This is the vibe. This is the vibe. Okay?
Aha!
The pants with the leggings.
So they are intentionally wearing these loose clothes that are showing no form of the body. Interesting.
On underneath, this is the look that we go for. Okay? I couldn't feel less hot. I couldn't feel less like working.
Yeah, well, maybe the whole world isn't about your looks. You know, maybe Japanese society has decided, look, this is so unimportant. Ultimately, the shape of your ass. Can we not display it everywhere?
Working out than in this. But if I wear the other thing, then people literally stop what they're doing and look at me. So this is the vibe. So if you come to Japan, just be prepared.
All right. Semi-biased Japan says frog eyes. KHRS says, Jeff, I can't recall your position on birth control. Was hoping to see you in the replies on Brett Weinstein's tweet that trad marriage rules it out. Trad marriage rules it out. Okay, I didn't see that tweet. Yes, if you are in a traditional marriage situation where people don't have sex before marriage and people marry to have sex and to make babies and the sex is meant to have babies, if you're in that situation, yes, you do not need birth control. My position on birth control is it's an evolutionary bait. It is a... an antinatalist psyop, and it's been one of the most successful medical psyop ever to convince women that for the mere fact of going about your life, your natural life, you should by default have this birth pill so that you can engage in sex. It's been pushed by, unfortunately, boomer parents who were axed toward hedonism and promoting hedonism in the next generation. And really, you would fix a lot of things if you couldn't have sex without making babies. You would fix a lot of things in this society if condoms and birth pills just didn't exist. It is very sad that it exists, and we should combat it by providing an alternative lifestyle, by saying, hey, you don't need to assume by default that your reproductive system needs a fix to be exploited, because that's all that it's going to lead to. The only reason why you would want your sex to happen without having the babies is because you want to exploit your sex for something it's not been designed for. You want to exploit it to have experiences, to enjoy your life, to discover new people. But all of these are things you should be able to do without sex. The reality is you're going to learn to use sex as leverage, as social leverage, if you are on the birth pill. Because you won't have to think about it. You won't have any consequence to your sexual decision making. And and this is where what's considered a safety measure, the birth pill, is seen as, oh, stay safe from pregnancy. is actually not a safety. It's one of these safety mechanisms that leads you to more risky behavior. Because if you didn't have the BERT pill, you wouldn't engage in such broad amounts of sex with broad amounts of partners. You would seriously choose your husband. You would put some care in, hey, since I'm going to do it with one guy only in my life, I'm going to make some effort choosing him correctly. So you get a whole part of life, of current human life, due to the BERT pill that is completely wasted in rotating across relationships that are meaningless, where the two partners are not into it for long-term baby making. So yes, I'm against the BERT pill and its contribution to human culture. Elon Musk has provided some precisions on Lucas Gage and the fact that Lucas Gage has been banned for 3 months from Twitter. People were spreading a fake meme that he was banned for tweeting fire extinguishers at a Jew, possibly in reference to the fire extinguisher being used to shut down a menorah, you know, these seven candle type of thing. I've never retweeted those claims because I think it was ridiculous. I personally was seeing a lot of the tweets from Lucas Gage, and there were violent tweets. There were appeal to physical violence. Now, I don't particularly care. Lucas Gage is a friend, but it's like I knew that he was violating the rules, and he must have been knowing it. So Lucas Gage, Elon Musk has brought the precision, saying, obviously, suspending someone for using an emoji would be idiotic. Gage called for slaying the demons, meaning Jewish people. Incitement to murder of anyone is illegal. We do have a UN exception where leaders of governments recognized by the UN are allowed to say whatever they... Okay, so basically he's saying, yes, just like the tweets I had seen from Lucas Gage, there were indirect or hidden appeals to violence, but they were not so well hidden. So someone responded to Elon and said, so are you going to do the same about those who call for murdering the Palestinian civilians? Let me know. I have a very long list if you're serious about it. And Elon Musk says, which accounts have called for the murder of civilians? Elon appears not to know that there is a double standard on his own platform where the appeal of violence against Palestinian civilians is a very regular occurrence, and they're doing nothing about it. I just asked Grok, give me 15 examples of tweets from people who have called for the murder of civilian Palestinians in Gaza. And what do we find? Civilians in Gaza, they're all terrorists in disguise. Hashtag end the occupation. Let's show these terrorists what happens when you mess with the wrong people. Hashtag bomb Gaza. The only good terrorist is a dead terrorist. They're all guilty. No need to differentiate between the terrorists and civilians in Gaza. If they want war, give them war. Hashtag kill them all. The only way to stop the rockets is to eliminate the source. Hashtag no hesitation. Why should we care about their civilians when they don't care about ours? Hashtag Gaza under fire. They're all complicit. No sympathy for the so-called civilian in Gaza. Hashtag no quarter. It's time to send a clear message. No more hiding behind human shields. Hashtag stop the terror. The only language they understand is force. Hashtag no more talk. So there's plenty of appeals to violence happening on the Israeli side, and it doesn't seem that Elon is very serious about applying the rules on the two sides equivalently. Frog Eyes says, I'm sure his heart was in the right place, but Gage always struck me as a liability first and foremost. I mean, Lucas Gage is who he is. He is a man of emotion, of displays, of eccentricity, and perhaps that's good sometimes to do good mimetics. So I accept him as he is. You know, I don't expect... He definitely doesn't have the kind of autistic intellectual type that I am. He's a very different guy, but he comes from the military. So, of course, that's a different type of personality. Three teens have beat a 53-year-old father of three, a white man who was father of three children. A witness described them as laughing and enjoying themselves while fatally stomping, kicking, and punching him. They continued to beat him even after he was down. They were stopped by an armed Good Samaritan, but it was too late for the father. He later succumbed to his injuries. There really is nothing we can do but put these people in jail forever. You're not going to fix this problem through any other means. People have been sending me this video and they wanted me to comment. So apparently this guy is a millionaire or a billionaire, and he had a wife, and his wife tried to extort him by saying through her lawyers, I'm divorcing you, and if you don't want any false allegations against you, you have to pay me $9 million. And he explains in his video that he decided, although it would have been very easy for him to pay $9 million and get this problem resolved, he decided to not let himself be extorted. And he decided that if she wants to try ruining his reputation, she can try. But he stood his ground. That is a very good attitude. You don't want to let the parasites get anything from you. So you use lawfare. He used lawfare against her. He sued her. And the court eventually found that she was extorting him. And they have now ordered her to pay him something like $500,000 for his lawyer fees. Supreme Court rules against special counsel will not expedite Trump immunity clash. So there was this Jack Smith, special attorney, who was asking to a very bizarre request to the Supreme Court. He wanted to speed up the process of examining Trump's defense claims, because Trump, you know, as a couple of claims like, oh, this particular standard of law doesn't apply to me because I was president at the time. Now, in a normal process, it can take years before the courts will truly give you your trial that you have a right to. But you do have the chance to have a trial to examine the validity of your defense. Now, this special attorney who's going after Trump, special counsel, they call him, he wanted everything to be expedited. He wanted the Supreme Court, to, without a trial for Trump, to just say, no, your defense is invalid. That is a very bizarre request. And why did he want this? It's because he's not interested at the true application of the law. He was interested at catching Trump before the election. And that's basically the argument he said to the Supreme Court. He said, the public has the right to know whether Trump has committed a crime. And so we have to get quick before the election. But here's the problem. The legal system is not what you think it is. It's not a tool for the Democrat to pursue their enemies. Now, we get it. It's what you're doing with it. But you cannot, like, transparently ask the Supreme Court, Hey, can we go faster on this guy? We'd really like to punish him before the election. Because the ultimate goal of all this persecution is to keep Trump from being elected again. It's absolute nonsense. The law doesn't isn't meant to have these side consequences. Now, there may be side consequences sometimes that emerge under certain circumstances where, oh, it just so turns out that being found guilty of X leads people in the population to judge you and perhaps to give you less opportunities. But it's not what the justice system is supposed to do. It's just an accident when it happens. And here, Jack Smith was basically asking, let's speed up on the accident. Let's speed up on the secondary effect of justice. As far as I'm concerned, this should disqualify him. There should be a mechanism for the Supreme Court justice to say, hey, you're asking us to do something so illegal on the record right now. You don't qualify as an attorney anymore. We're removing your license. Go Away says, I'm about to buy a $1,200 memory foam mattress. It won't make you happy. Go Away. Just don't buy this memory foam mattress. You won't sleep better. Your life is miserable. Go Away. You are a troll of the regular chat of JFG tonight. You're not going to get happier with a softer bed. You have to go harder on yourself. You have to go get a free bed that's given by a local that has announced it on some Craigslist type of announce. These super harsh beds that you will feel the spring in your back, that will improve your life. That will put you on a disciplined mode, or just sleep on concrete. But sleeping on your comfortable mattress will just numb you into being less of an aggressive troll. You will slowly become repetitive and kind of annoying in your trolling ways. It won't make you better. Go Away says, my contributions to the regular chat require a good night's sleep. Okay, well, do it if you want, but I've been buying mattresses of all quality levels. I have a relatively high quality mattress here because Mama JF had chosen this mattress back in the days. And since, you know, it's a house, you certainly don't, in my past life when I was in apartments, you don't want to buy a mattress like this because you know you're going to move at some point and you know you're going to have trouble moving the mattress and maybe you leave it in some apartment. But once you're established, you can buy a relatively high-priced mattress, but it's not wonderful. And eventually they break. Even the high-class one that I have, eventually, you know, it changes its shape. It creates the springs start being less responsive. So I don't think it's worth it that much in terms of an investment. What else do we have before we start the review of the year? The Pentagon is alarmed over the huge price tag of countering cheap Yemeni drones. So apparently the drones cost $2,000. But it cost about $1 million to eliminate them with a missile. So those are important asymmetries in wars of attrition. And I think it's part of the reason why, even with the crazy budget that the Ukraine war has been given, that the Ukraine side has been given, faced with Russia, which was just not so high of a budget, and really Russia is just doing traditional ground war stuff alongside air control. No matter how much money you throw at it, at some point the other side becomes specialist in making you spend that money for nothing. And then you end up in the war of attrition, and it's mostly an economic war at this point. American hostage dies in Gaza. The White House remains silent. No plan on the horizon. An Israeli-American dual national who had been kidnapped in kibbutz near Oz on October 7th. Gadi was a man full of humor who knew how to make those around him laugh. A musician at heart, a gifted flautist, he played in the IDF orchestra and was involved with music his whole life. Well, American hostage, are you fucking kidding me? I don't consider you an American hostage if you were a flautist for the IDF. You've been doing music for the Israeli army. You are in the Israeli army, as far as I'm concerned, and you are mostly an Israeli citizen, in my view. A majority of San Francisco people support testing a cash assistance recipients for drug use. Okay, so they support testing the cash assistance recipients for drug use so that if you are found to be consuming drug, you get punished on your cash assistance. Well, the problem is this cash assistance is supposed to be when you're at the bottom of the bottom. And when you start feeding people for being at the bottom, you're going to have an exploitation of this. Everyone will want to be at the bottom and everyone will flock to your city because you're being way too generous with the bottom. But at the bottom, people do consume drugs also. So you're going to deprive people who are addicted to drugs of their money, which before you tested for drugs, you thought that this money was absolutely needed for them to survive. How is it that they could afford drugs with it? I don't know. It's probably because you're giving too much. So give less, and in fact, give nothing. And you will get these people being incentivized at getting out of drugs so that they can survive. So that as long as these people don't have a decision to make between taking drugs and eating a banana, as long as they get the banana for free and then they can spend any extra on drugs, they will keep consuming drugs. Do not feed the ducks. This is what you see on every lake. Message from the Minister of Environment, do not feed the ducks because you will habituate them at human feeding. Well, you have fed the ducks, San Francisco. I mean, you have more than fed the duck. You've stuffed their stomach like you wanted foie gras from them. Dead Star says, I get swarms of stink bugs here in Ohio. Squish one in bed and they reek horribly. Really? You hear the death of the insects that you kill in Ohio? I don't. But okay. So let's do our year in review. It's a year that I consider all of the events turned into events that please my political sensibilities. I think the world is headed in a relatively good direction, despite the forces of evil that control our nations that are still there. I believe that what we've seen in 2023 is so much reversals and so much L's. The establishment is taking L's on all fronts. They're absolutely losing on their insane Ukraine-cheering war. They have absolutely lied during the whole cheering portion on social media. They tried to meme themselves into a military victory. And they've been absolutely owned by you know, overall, a very poor, minimal nation, Russia. Not minimal compared to Ukraine, but certainly small and incapable compared to, say, the US in terms of technology. So what marks 2023 to me is the stabilization of the Russia-Ukraine war, the falling of any credibility of the discourse around counteroffensives. This they were still entertaining in 2022. In 2023, this whole discourse fell, and we saw that the Ukraine side is desperate. They are sending their soldiers into a meat grinder with absolutely nothing to come back with in terms of gains or victory. They cannot push the Russian army. And that's a fact that people like me and people like Coach Red Pill have been repeating since the beginning, but they didn't want to hear it. And they have invested money, really. And you can see this whole war as basically a side excuse where they're holding the front of a war. They're making it look to the public like they're in a war. But really, in 2023, very little has been happening. Other than just basic meat grinding of cycles of soldiers to the Russian front. And instead, what you have is this whole set, this whole money being transferred from the US and probably redirected toward dark networks around Zelensky. We're probably looking here at a massive international fraud that's happening, where Zelensky is finding routes for that money to pay people that he likes, to pay companies that he likes, to buy stuff from companies that he likes or that control him. And ultimately, you're talking about a redirection of the American taxpayers' money into the most corrupt, corrupt shithole. I agree with that characterization, Frog Eyes. Ukraine is a corrupt shithole. It's the perfect place you would send money to if you wanted to do a coup like this. And that's what they've done. But the front of even a war happening is the delusion is starting to fall here. And we're seeing that basically the borders have stabilized. They've stabilized exactly where Russia stopped. Maybe they could continue in the future, but they don't have to. They have made the gains that are satisfying for Putin, probably. And there is no particular reason why Putin would want to push further. So overall, a loss of Ukraine. And in this very... absolutely classless desperation of Zelensky, we have our friend Coach Red Pill, Gonzalo Lira, who has been captured by the Ukrainian government, who has not been given due process, who will probably die in their jails, or will stay there forever, or perhaps if we have something like the election of a Trump, maybe in 2024 we can have hope to see Gonzalo Lira again. But a total ideological detainee here. Our friend Coach Red Pill held in Ukraine in 2023. That is one of the marking moments of this year. The Titan submersible implosion. So in June 2023, this hilarious news item came out that this Titan submersible that they were building in an unorthodox fashion. They had built a team that was composed of women, and they had checked all of the boxes in terms of special employees from minorities and, you know, encouraging the next generation. And there were even comments from the CEO that Oh yeah, you know, us white men, I'm tired to see white men in the submersible domain. We are encouraging the next generation at the woman. And this Titan submersible just beautifully blew up with rich people inside. Poof. In a way that reminds us of the fact that when you have an engineering job, it's going to have to be white men. It's going to have to be old white men still, or else it's keep things are going to start blowing up. Our planes are going to start blowing up right in the sky, just like this Titan submersible. So here you have a bunch of people who were told in writing that there were white engineers, white men, that had written reports saying, hey, you guys are going to kill yourself. You're not following this standard for the hull. You're not following this standard for the door. You are using an experimental window that the very company that builds it is telling you, no, you can't do this. And so this is like, you get what you fucking deserve. And the people in this submarine and the people who built it deserve to see it blow up because they were facing pressures that are super hard to handle, and they were being cavalier about it. So again, that is a white pitting event of 2023, the beginning of the big public failure of affirmative action employment, adventurers who are trying to push the boundaries, but they are doing so dangerously with people who don't have the competence to do it. End of the line. Joel says they should have consulted James Cameron. He visited the wreck of the Titanic 40 times via a submersible without incident. Yeah, I mean, there has been submersibles going at this depth, and that's no problem. The innovation with this Titan submersible was that they wanted a submersible that is basically, if I understand correctly, mostly passively dropped. Mostly going along a rope, kind of, a chain or whatever, and going down. And it was not a submersible that had easy controls. They were using a gamepad. It's even on the Wikipedia page. They were using a gamepad to control the various elevation mechanism to go up and down with this submersible. But it was not one of these submersible that you can drive like a vessel or like a plane. And most importantly, it was a single hull submersible. It was really a bubble of fiberglass. But they were using unorthodox materials, and they were pushing the game to the game of following the standards. You always want to have a margin of safety, and they've interpreted the margin of safety of their window as a recommendation rather than a limit, you know. Israel Gaza War Live. So one of the other moments of 2023 is the beginning of, although it's been going on for decades, we have the beginning of a violence wave in Israel against Gaza, with an apparent decisiveness of the Israeli side to be basically colonizing and pushing out populations, all civilian populations from Gaza. They have already done a part of the north. My suspicion is that they have decided that Gaza was to be made a Israeli settlement, basically. And so they're terrorizing civilian populations with airstrikes, destroying civilian society, and all on the excuse that they are fighting against Hamas. But as we have seen in the Israeli videos of propaganda, they basically can define Hamas as being anywhere, because anywhere they find a gun, that becomes a Hamas building. It's like, okay, we bombed this hospital and look at what we found, a gun behind the MRI. And first you ask yourself, to what extent have they placed the gun there to give themselves the excuse? And then even if the gun was there, does it indicate that this is a legitimate military target? It may have been a Hamas soldier that was escorting someone with a gun, and perhaps that someone needed security. And so they escorted him in the hospital and they dropped their gun there. And then when the hospital started being bombed, they ran and they didn't pick up their gun. You know, it's not because there's a gun behind an MRI machine that suddenly the hospital becomes a legitimate military target. I find that the behavior of Israel has been so blatant in this campaign of genocide that it's a white-pilling thing to me, because I think they dropped the mask off. They went at levels of violence that, you know, the Jewish lobby in America has went against social media contributors for potentially inciting violence, not even in dog whistles. I mean, they are alarmed at the idea of white nationalism. They go after white nationalist thinkers, original thinkers on the right, independent creators. But none of these people have ever advocated for as much violence as we've seen by the Israeli side against civilians here. And so the way they dropped the mask off, and the way the Jordan Petersons of this world have been showing their true face to the world, when they started cheering at the death of civilian and they started saying hashtag give them hell, to me that is a white pilling thing, because it tells me that the Israeli side is desperate. They are way too bloodthirsty. And ultimately, they're that bloodthirsty for such a small thing, Gaza. Once all of Gaza is carpet bombed, you realize that Israel isn't much more safe. You realize that Israel is still surrounded by massive populations of Arabs who will howl at Israel even more than they used to. So I find it fascinating how Israel is going so desperate, yet this is not the ultimate. They're not locking themselves into an eternally safe position. Rather, they are locking themselves into being the most hated region by the Muslims of planet Earth. And this will not solve itself across the generations. On top of it, they are losing their own social media war. They are losing inside their own universities. So basically, here you have the Jewish lobby and the Jewish elite of America realizing that their situation is precarious. And not because of the evil white nationalist, not because of Papa JF. Your situation is precarious because you have made yourself too many enemies. Your allies aren't even your allies. You think your allies are the black community? Yes, black and Jews, same fight. No, you have a Kanye rising. You think your allies are the Muslims you import to dilute the white population? No, turns out they hate you because you killed their cousins. So you have no allies, and the only ally truly left for the Jewish lobby is the political class, the elite class, and the neocons, we could say. But they are seeing that the next generation of youth that is rising right now will not be supporting the neocons. They won't be able to. They have been raised way too much into an anti-war, generally pro-Palestinian academia and anti-war left. So the time is ticking for Israel. It's only going down from here. And I think that's a very white-pilling thing of 2023. Another thing that has marked 2023 is the media coverage around me and how I am a, well, if you trust Newsweek, a white supremacist wants more control over woman after girlfriend disappears. The disappearance of Mama JF is another one of the important events of 2023 for me. Mama JF, again, I've told that story so many times, I don't think it's worth going back to it. Mama JF left, and if Mama JF is out there listening to this, know, Mama JF, that everything is going well here. Our common projects are advancing. Everything is going good. But these journalists started seeing an opportunity to further smear me. We saw a Daily Beast article by the very same person who had smeared me on false allegations years ago. So you have these moles, these agents, and I think there may be a relationship with the Israeli war, which is that people like me, they often try to discredit people like me when they when they know that they're going to need to win a social media war. And perhaps there was a hit bounty on my head. Perhaps some rich guy decided, hey, I want you to smear all possible supporters of the Palestinian side in this conflict. So the media decided to go with the story that, yeah, it's weird that I want more control over a woman after my girlfriend disappears. And so I've had these interactions with the police within 2023. And honestly, nothing has evolved. We still haven't found Mama JF. They still haven't found her. I'm not looking for her. I'm happy if she's happy out there and doesn't want to be found. But yeah, no one knows where Mama JF is. Her family doesn't know. The police doesn't know. But she went on her own choice. And so that is hurting. And meanwhile, while Mama JF was gone, I have 2023 is also the year where I've met a new girlfriend, an amazing woman who has sent me she has given me a glass of whiskey, which I tried for the first time with whiskey. I tried for the first time with alcohol yesterday. I had tried it with a Diet Pepsi, but I was happy yesterday. I opened the alcohol chest and I've pulled out some bourbon and some apple brandy. And she had given me this glass saying, "You're the best thing I've ever found on the internet," signed with a heart. She has engraved this at the bottom of a whiskey glass. I really appreciate it. Yesterday, looking at my block clock in my office while drinking some bourbon, I've been sleeping extremely well. But I woke up, although I didn't drink much, drinking just very little at my age is harder and harder. So I woke up with some degree of dehydration because I had forgotten to, you know how, if you want to avoid dehydration in the morning, you should just drink a whole big bottle of water before you go to bed when you're drunk. This will reduce the dehydration effect because, as I was explaining to my girlfriend, at the end of a molecule of alcohol, you always have an atom of oxygen and an atom of hydrogen, OH. And that's what defines alcohol, by the way. That's the whole family of molecules from methanol, alcohol, propyl, isopropyl alcohol, everything that you could call alcohol, and even, you know, these various forms of oil that you can burn. A lot of these are, they have energy and they have an impact on your physiology because of this OH little extremity of the molecule. OH. And H2O is water. And as it turns out, your liver, to try to neutralize the alcohol, the OH extremity, it has to get a molecule of water and dismantle it. The liver needs a molecule of water, and I don't remember exactly what it does, but I think it takes the water and connects it at the top, so now you have OOHH. Anyways, something happens with the molecule of water. The hydrogen atoms of it are needed, and the liver combines this, and that neutralizes the extremity of the alcohol molecule. But for that reason, the liver needs a lot of water when it's getting rid of the alcohol from your body. For every molecule of alcohol, it will need a molecule of water. Dead Star says, hilariously, I seriously think I was chatting with the ex that set the whole thing off on 4chan. That's in relation to which ex? One of my ex? Oh, the Stick's wife kicked him to the curb and sent him back to the US. Are these fucking European wife? I'm done with them. No, I only pick Canadian or American wives going forward. These European wives they're raised way too leftist, and they're way too much influenced by female liberty and that kind of stuff, and you won't keep them in place. It's so sad. Europe is dying, and it's going to be largely because of their women. Twitter under Elon Musk, that is a important development of 2023. Of course, Elon Musk officially acquired in October 2022. But most of the effect of the acquisition of Elon Musk of Twitter happened in 2023. And oh my God, did we have a massive change of the landscape. The intellectual landscape has been totally reverted. We were silenced. We are much less silenced. There are currently memes that are going against what the establishment would want. Memes that go, there's lots of journalism and coverage of the Israeli war showing the full suffering, the humanitarian aspect of the suffering on the side of Gaza. The elite is losing control of the narrative. And that is entirely due to Elon Musk. Because without Elon Musk, the narrative was totally controlled and purchased at Twitter. So credit to Elon Musk, although not everything is perfect and he still has double standards, he has changed the world. There was no mimetics. There wouldn't have been mimetics favoring the Palestinian side back under Jack Dorsey. It was all manipulated and the trends were manipulated, but now we have some kind of freedom that has emerged back. Another important event of 2023 was the Nashville school shooting. It took so long for us to get the manifesto of this trans individual who shot a private Christian school. And finally, surprisingly, it is Steven Crowder who ended up doing the scoop on this, and being able to get the pictures from the police department of at least parts of the manifesto. I'm happy that we got to see the kind of ideology that was motivating this trans shooter. I think that it was hidden precisely because it went against the leftist narrative, because here you have a leftist who perhaps hated white people or Christians or perhaps just talented people in general, but it was definitely a leftist shooting. 2023 is also the year of AIs and the birth of ChatGPT, the move toward ChatGPT-4, the birth of lots of competition to OpenAI and ChatGPT, the birth of alternative models like those who are producing images, sound, videos, Midjourney, that kind of thing. I like the developments in this area. I think that's at some point it might have an influential aspect on art. But for now, we mostly have excitement. And I think the excitement may be overestimating these developments because ultimately, I haven't seen ChatGPT becoming a standard of anything. I know that some people are using it as part of their workflow. You know, some people are, oh, let me ask ChatGPT if that's a good idea. But overall, I don't think we have a life-changing technology yet. I think we have a fun technology that triggers curiosity a lot and triggers excitement. Perhaps one day it will reach the point of being a life-changing technology. Now, OpenAI has kept the lead with GPT-4 still being the most logically coherent language model. The alternatives that have showed up, they feel very much like GPT-3, GPT-3.5. Grok has shown up. Elon Musk has freed the censorship of AIs with Grok. That is a good thing. I think it's great that that we have a competition that will eventually outcompete ChatGPT due to its censorship, because ChatGPT will become useless the more it has these taboos, the more there will be areas where it is useless in comparison to Grok. John Drake says, I haven't got a hold of 4, but 3.5 is weak. Yeah, 4 is the most impressive, and I would say Grok hasn't reached level 4 yet, but it might go there. If Elon is willing to dedicate a task force in his company to truly improve and truly iterate through what he learns from Grok's interaction with the public, I think that Grok ultimately could supplant ChatGPT and supplant it for good. In other news of 2023, nuclear power in Germany has been abolished. April 2023 is when the last nuclear power plant was closed in Germany. And let's not forget that a lot of the things that are happening in the world is to shut down Germany. Production capabilities. So the Ukraine war itself and the bombing of the pipeline, the pipeline that was supposed to transfer natural gas between Russia and Germany. All of this is an attack on Germany industrial capabilities. And I wouldn't be surprised that the closing of these nuclear plants is also in line with these interests. and finally, as a last note on 2023, 2023 was the year of the persecution of Trump. Putin calls Trump legal cases politically motivated persecution. And although it's not the most important thing that happened in 2023, I think it's going to become the main theme of 2024. That is, the 2024 mimetic wave will be driven by this persecution of Trump. And whether the people will have a chance at the ballot to say whether they are disgusted at this, whether they are disgusted at the Democrats always trying to reach their goal, no matter the fairness of it, no matter the deontological consideration, just use all tools that you can to go after the people you hate. That would be the strategy of the left as it's currently playing out. And they might have reached a point where they start triggering people, where the people decides in 2024 to tell the Democrats, go fuck yourself. You're not going to use the institutions to be so evil and dark in your open strategy, to be so transparently going after a man just out of hate and spite. The persecution of Trump has been very heavy in 2023, and I hope that he can use this as a springboard. Not that he is the best candidate in my view. There could have been better. There could have been candidates that would have been giving us hope that they can do better than him as a president. But given that there's no such candidate, then Trump remains my favorite choice among what's available. So I believe that Trump might, the rise of Trump or his failure will determine 2024 greatly. And the extent to which the population is tired of his persecution will play a lot in their decision. Finally, in demographics characterization, I was browsing through Wikipedia. The world population on January 1st, 2023 was estimated at 7.9 billion people, and it's expected to increase to 8.1 billion on January 1st, 2024. So we would have passed the global population number of 8.1 billion people. We are now 8 billion people, an estimated 134 million births and 60 million deaths were expected to take place in 2023. Child mortality is down. Life expectancy at the global level is 73 years. So we have a growth of the population at the global level, but it's a growth that is at the expense of white populations declining in their own nations. So we have to fix this. We have to get into white baby making, and we have to get there quick. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with me this year. Thank you for being with me for this Christmas review. Tomorrow I will have no show because I'll be going on the Millennial and I'll be reviewing the news I've talked about today and more in interactive mode with Millennial Woes and see what he thinks. But overall, I am extremely positive because we've had a great year, and the cycles of civilization would tell you that it has to be not the best year. It has to be the case that 2024 will surpass on every measure 2023, because 2024 is an American election year. It's going to be around Trump. It's a Bitcoin bull run year. 2024, by any standard, should totally surpass 2023. And yet 2023 was that exciting. So I can't wait to see what happens. I think there are bright days ahead. Much love. I'll see you all tomorrow on the Millennial.